Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, September 13th, 2013, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals, your gold and silver bullion dealer. Our website is centralmetalscorp.com, and our phone number is 800-649-6722. And for those of you that didn't get the email I sent out, we did update our website. We have a new look to our website, and the product section is much cleaner now, and we have premiums posted for all the products that we commonly carry. So if you have a minute, take a look, and you're more than welcome to send us comments. For the opening the account section, there's the a contact us tab where you can fill out your name, address, and phone number and send us the information, and you can open an account with us. Our email still remains the same. It's mail@centralmetalscorp.com. And for anyone that has questions, they could send us an email. Our blog site is still active. We will be posting the radio show. It's going to be on the blog site as well. And there's going to be a link on the regular website for the radio show. But the blog is still going to be there. We're going to be posting news articles and so on. And you can go back and forth from the website to the blog. There's a tab on each site to go back and forth. So just wanted to let you know about that. Let's start off with some quotes here. We have gold and silver got hit again yesterday and a little bit today. Gold is at 13,1421. Silver is at 21.82. The reason for this hit, no one knows. I guess nothing significant came out yesterday or today. And it's just, I guess, market manipulation as usual. And I hear our guest, Jeff Dunphy, in the background there. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Bosco. Delighted to be here.
Well, good to have
you. Yes, we once again, Bosco, see the differentiation between gold price and the price of gold. And I see in perusing some of the news clips that we have Goldman Sachs saying gold is going to $1,000. On this U.S. economy, and again, we play the next hand, Bosco. What do they know that we don't? One, and what agenda are they furthering that we are not aware of? Two, there's a whole bunch of things coming out today, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff that's happened in the market this week. We've had front page of the Financial Post, which is a Toronto newspaper, although it's a Canadian, it's a national newspaper. The front page of the Post tells us the the Ontario debt is $270 billion, and it is a time bomb. Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't economic collapse one of the reasons you want to hold gold? Yeah. So a direct quote from this article, Bosco, is, "I think we cannot count on the economy to save the day." Mm-hmm. And here again, let's play the hand of what are they saying, how are they manipulating the information they're giving you, and what is their agenda? So, Bosco, when I come up to you and I say, "I just saved you a bunch of money," some people make jokes about how their wives saved them a bunch of money because they say, "Husband, I just came home and I spent $400, but I saved you $200.
Yeah.
How is it that you saved me $200 because you bought $400 worth of clothes, you say to your dear partner? Yeah. Well, my dear, had they not been on sale, they would have been $600.
Right, right.
There you go. So...
That's like the financial planners that are all happy, and they come to you and say, "We got great news. We only lost, your portfolio is only down 25%, but the S&P is down 30%. So we did better, you know."
Yes.
And they're all happy about that. But
exactly.
Related to you know, this discussion that we're having now, I just sent out an email to a lot of my clients, and this was a publication that just came out this month, last week, I believe. It's from the the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements, and the International Securities Exchange Council or organization or whatever, that they monitor the securities exchanges around the world. And the title of the document, it's on our blog site. We just posted it, and we made some comments. But the title of the document is Margin Requirements for Non-Centrally Cleared Derivatives. And basically, they're discussing all the unsecured derivatives that are out there that are floating around that have an enormous nominal value that is in the trillions and trillions of dollars. And in order to support the financial system, they're going to require that central banks and banks have collateral. Now, here's one of the key things in this article. They discuss what the initial margin and the requirements for collateral and what the collateral should be for these derivatives and what collateral you need to post margin. It says these assets should be highly liquid and should, after accounting for an appropriate haircut, be able to hold their value in a time of financial stress. And then down here, national requirement number four, national supervisors should develop their own eligible collateral assets and so on. And as a guide, examples of the types of eligible collateral that satisfy the key principle would generally include cash, high-quality government central bank securities, high-quality corporate bonds, high-quality covered bonds, and equities included in major stock indices and gold. Okay, so folks, this is the Central Bank of Central Bankers and the International Securities Organization telling us that gold is eligible for collateral, meaning that it qualifies as an asset that is comparable to cash and high-quality government bonds and equities that are included in the major stock indices, meaning the Dow and the S&P and so on. So, you know, what can you say to that? People that are, you know, that keep on criticizing gold as a qualified asset, you know, what you could say, I'm not going to argue with the Central Bank of Central Bankers. So, Jeff, are you there? Jeff seemed to have caught out. I think we might have a question online here. One second. Hello, you have a question for the show?
It is me, Bosco. I'm just finding my Skype connection to be a bit awkward, so I think what I will do is dial in again from my landline.
Oh, I can hear you now. Okay, folks, just bear with us for a second. We seem to be having some technical difficulties.
Skype and call in.
Okay. So there you have it, folks. Gold is qualified collateral. And what Jeff was discussing earlier, we don't have to rely on these people to tell us that gold is a qualified asset. You know, many of us already know that gold is a qualified asset. And, it's just when institutions like these come out and tell you, you know, it just adds more credibility to the fact that, we've been saying for a long time now that I think that everybody should have a portion of their portfolio in gold in times like these, probably much more than usual. So, you know, there you have it. The Central Bank of Central Bankers, they said gold is just like cash or government bonds. The big difference is, folks, is that when you have cash on, what's going on now is you have cash on deposit or you have government bonds on deposit with a bank, and that bank is a systemically important bank, chances are that you might get bailed in and your assets might be converted into bank stock. Whereas if you hold gold...
Confiscation, right, Bosco?
Exactly. You know, you have gold...
Confiscation,
in your in your account or in a private vault or in a safe at home, no one's going to take that away from you. They can't. I mean, they have to come knocking on your door. But and even, you know, Jeff, you mentioned confiscation. I was listening to an interview today of someone, even back in 1933, you know, when you say confiscation, a lot of people think that, you know, the government sent out thugs to go get your gold, knock on your door and search for your gold. That didn't happen. What they did, they sent out a notice, you know, that everybody had to turn in their gold, and people still received market value for their gold when they brought it to the bank. So
they received $25.
Right, they received the $25, but then after,
right,
after it got readjusted. So, you know, after
that
time,
that was a massive devaluation of the currency.
Yeah, but I mean, people, and a lot of these people that put out these scare tactics are some unscrupulous coin dealers that want to sell you numismatic coins at extremely high premiums. You know, and I'm not criticizing all of them. There's some really good dealers out there and so on. But, you know, what you want to do is you want to hold bullion that's recognizable and so on. If you want leverage, as far as investing in gold and silver leverage, I prefer to just, you know, take your risks with the mining stocks and that kind of thing, if you're looking to leverage your gold investment. But that brings us to a question here that we have wanted to explain the difference between the certified coins and the uncertified old circulated gold coins. And basically, the difference is that you have the MS grading for the coin, mint state grading for these pre-1933 coins. Basically, there's a couple of different organizations that certify these coins, and they assign a value to them based on their condition. Okay, so these coins get a grading, and they're a professional grading, and they're used on exchanges between the gold dealers and their customers and so on, so that they don't have to, you know, worry about who's going to grade it, who's, you know, whether it's his opinion or someone else's opinion, the condition of that coin. The coins that are not graded, again, you're subject to the opinion of the dealer. You know, he might say it's a mint coin. The other dealer might say it's just a fine coin, you know. So this is where we stay away from that. We deal with strictly bullion, and if your bullion is mint condition or fine condition, it doesn't matter to us. It's still 1 ounce of gold, and whatever the market price is for 1 ounce of gold, that's what you're going to get. So when it comes to that kind of thing, you have to be very careful, you know, and everyone knows that, you know, silver coins, even in Canada and the United States, a lot of our coins were made out of silver before. That's what they call junk silver, and it's still silver, and to me, it's still a good investment when you're looking at silver, because the premium is very low on junk silver. It's even sometimes it's even less than bullion coins. So, and the junk silver, everybody knows. I mean, Jeff, I'm sure you're familiar with the junk silver, the coins in the 70s that were minted by the Canadian Mint. Are you familiar with those at all?
Well, I mean, I think one of the differentiations, as Bosco has just explained, ladies and gentlemen, has been the value of your coin in its commodity versus the value of its face value versus the value of its trading value. And one of the things we see from time to time is a very rare coin will come up, and it may be very dramatically worth more than what its commodity price is. So let's say a 1 ounce gold coin of some notoriety or rarity pitches up, it may trade for $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, who knows, $10,000. It might be a very magic coin according to collectors. However, we think and we believe that is a different breed of cat than what Bosco and I are in the business of doing, and that is promoting owning minted, government minted, or genuinely minted minted coins in order to facilitate protection of your wealth.
Yeah. So,
Bosco, I want to chat about economic risk.
I'm not an
risk.
Expert on that. I'm not an expert on that, so we'll leave the coin issue at that. And, Jeff, you have something else you wanted to discuss?
Well, I want to chat a little about one of the things that happens in our maintaining our wealth, as Bosco has spoken of many times. You allocate, you have certain classes of assets, you have a certain aspect of things. I want to chat a little about the economy, how it's reported on, how the exposure of these various bizarre and wild financial instruments are that they've created called derivatives have exposed the marketplace to what Bosco and I have called from time to time systemic risk. This, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, is when you buy and sell stocks or bonds or anything on the stock market, or when you hold your mutual funds, or when the government holds your pension funds, which we've seen from time to time, Bosco, that governments of various countries just go and steal them or turn them into zero or monetize them for their own selfish needs. When that stuff happens, you trust that your stocks and bonds trade, and you can call a stockbroker or you can call your financial planner and say, well, I want to buy more or sell out of my stocks and bonds. The operative word that we're dealing with right now is called systemic risk. And in the case where the systemic risk presents itself, you call the stockbroker and you say, please sell my stocks. And the stockbroker goes, oh, the stock exchange has shut down for a period of time. This is, in fact, not out of the question. And, in fact, the CBOE, which is the Chicago Board of Options and Exchange, yeah, it went down due to a computer problem a little while ago. This we've been talking about for months now, haven't we, Bosco? The derivatives market, the options and exchange, the CBOE, it went down. And its computer systems were to blame. There will be a position or something going on where some economic news, some military news, some political news, some agenda, or some derivative will be triggered, and it will cause a run on things, kind of like a run on the bank back in the old days, right, Bosco? And when that happens, the exchange just shuts down. So one of the things that we talk about is systemic risk and party counterparty risk, which means somebody else won't be able to either deliver your stocks or bonds, or the exchange on which it is traded goes up the stump. Now, your broker calls you back and says, I can't deliver your stocks and bonds that you wanted to sell because the system's broken. The stock exchange has gone down or it's gone bankrupt. Or you call up your broker and say, I want to sell things. And they say, well, we as a brokerage house or we as a bank, we've gone up the stump. So we're going to confiscate everything that you have in the accounts, which is what happened to our good friend John Corzine. Remember, Bosco, that came in and lost $2 billion and then said, oops. And then the prosecutorial system said, boy, that was stupid, slapped him on a wrist with a Nerf bat and sent him on his way. Yeah. We're now starting to see violation in the letter of the law in the legal system. And it's where one of the commodities houses, a very outspoken woman, shut all of her accounts down and gave all of the money back to her clients because she said the system is broken. So when we see little flags come up, like the Chicago Board of Options and Exchange has computer glitches that shuts it down for hours at a time and cannot facilitate trading, Bosco, food for thought and a red flag to pay attention. When you own gold and silver coins, ladies and gentlemen, you have no counterparty risk. You have it in your hand. You have an ounce of gold or an ounce of silver in your hand. There's no, you don't have to rely on anybody else to facilitate any aspect of owning it. And that's a vital part of protecting your wealth. There's the rant for the afternoon, Bosco.
Yeah, no, that's a great piece. I mean, the key is counterparty risk, folks. You know, you have to realize whenever you sign a contract, and it's coming to light now. We've discussed the bail-in process here. Whenever you hand your money over to another institution, you know, chances are you might not get it back. There's a clause, I remember when I was a broker, there's a clause in every application that we sent out to our clients, you know, regarding technology. They're not responsible for technical failures in the system, whether the company's computers go down, there might be, you know, I was in South Florida, so during a hurricane, if there was no power, we had no computers, so we couldn't trade for our clients. And, you know, of course, we had the backup, our head office in Chicago. People would just have to call in orders in person. But you know, you have the whole technology issue. Never mind the stability of the financial institution that's making the trade for you, like in the case of Corzine. But, you know, you have the issue of technology. If the system goes down or there's some kind of a virus or whatever in the computers, you know, you're not going to get your money. You know, and they might be a what they call like a false flag. But they might create it on purpose just to lock
there
up money for trades, and then you don't have access to anything. So you have to have either have some cash at home, have gold and silver. You know, a lot of people now are starting to talk about having, you know, a reserve of food for at least a month or so, which is, I think. I don't know. I think that's kind of normal. I remember when I was a kid, my parents always had a food cellar downstairs. We had, you know, things in there for storage and so on. I don't know if many people do that anymore, but I think it's a good practice. You don't have to go overboard, you know, but it's always good to have a small storage of food at home and some cash just in case something happens. But you know, I don't want to take that too far. I don't believe in the Armageddon scenario and, you know, that we're going to live like Mad Max. But I do definitely believe that, you know, some kind of an adjustment, a currency adjustment, or the way currency...
Or a different currency taking over as the world currency, perhaps, eh, Buster?
Yeah. I mean, something is coming. There's no doubt. I mean, just look at what's happening around the world. We had another question just come in.
Okay.
Let's just address this question, and then maybe we can continue on. The question reads that recently Elizabeth Warren has come out in support of Glass-Steagall, and from my understanding, if Glass-Steagall is implemented, it will put great pressure on Wall Street. What would happen to pension funds in this case? Jeff, you want to take that?
Okay, absolutely. Glass-Steagall, ladies and gentlemen, is a set of rules and regulations that were sort of de-minimized in the Reagan administration when they took down the walls between various financial institutions, between banks, between trust companies, between brokerage houses, and between insurance. And consequently, since that period of time, the financial institutions have consolidated, we call it. So there used to be 100 or 1,000 or 10,000, and now there are 7 or 8 or 9 financial institutions that manage 75% of a whole bunch of the money on the planet, which is a bit egregious because their agenda then becomes the agenda of the whole planet. So the repositioning of Glass-Steagall would suggest a deconsolidation or a separation of the of these financial institutions. This is what happened back in the days when John Rockefeller consolidated and became a monopoly in the oil and gas business from drilling to refining. So he just took everybody out of business, and they broke him up. And that was that. That act was to get rid of the monopoly. The financial institutions have a monopoly on things. The reinstatement of Glass-Steagall is not something that the financial institutions or their respective lobbyists would want to entertain for a moment. And again, I'm not sure if this is a true momentum or it's some covering their proverbial behinds, Bosco, by saying this should happen. I suspect one of the things that is behind this is there comes a point in time, Bosco, just before collapses of economies, of governments, of countries, where some of the people start to run away from the ship and they start to say, this is not good, this is going to collapse. And I think we're starting to see that now. And they have coined these people called whistleblowers. And they've coined these people, the government will coin them as traitors, but in the very same breath, what we who like to think we're a little better informed coin these as people who can no longer hold their tongue
in order to, for the expose to come, in order for the light to come in order for light to be shed on, or, as in a wonderful movie that we all know, is when Toto comes to the curtain and pulls the curtain back and we see the wizard making all the nonsense and he's just a little guy behind the curtain when the emperor has no clothes is exposed. So right. One of the things that happens with the imposition of Glass-Steagall, it would be a good thing, ideally. However, the implication of it being a good thing is still, it may be a bit far off, and the financial lobbyists, which in fact are the ones that actually make the rules, the government don't make the rules, the financial lobbyists do, would probably preclude that from ever happening. I want to dive into the economy for a second, Bosco, because I want to touch base on a few headlines for our listeners respective of respecting gold and silver. It's been 5 years since they let Lehman blow up. You will remember that Bear Stearns went down and Merrill Lynch got bought and AIG got bailed out and you had all these things coming down and they just let Lehman, they threw Lehman under the bus. So that's been 5 years since that in 08. And the best performing assets since Lehman has gone up the stump, which is from 2008 to now, are, guess what, Bosco? Silver and gold. Yep. Okay? And the banks in Greece are worse. Greece has an unemployment rate now, Bosco, pushing 28%.
Wow.
So we now have the management of prospective economics, Bosco. We now have the governments starting to lose their capacity to manipulate and manage the government, manage the economy. And when that happens, Bosco, people start to speak with their feet. They start to get out of the markets. I think we're in a market bubble. And I have all no ends of people who are in agreement with that observation. I think we're seeing consumer confidence collapse. I think we're starting to get a skepticism index, which is rising, which means I don't believe what anybody's saying. I think we've got computer systems, Bosco, suspiciously. We've got computer systems crashing the CBOE. I think we have a whole bunch of people running and starting to scream, it isn't as they say it is. Something is not as it seems. And I think you have the powers that be perhaps starting to lose control in this sinking ship. Mm-hmm. There's a way to protect yourself, and the life jacket is called holding gold and silver and holding real assets and being prepared for the obvious conclusion, the obvious observation that the government is not out for your best interests. It's out to maintain itself in power and to push through whatever it does in order to maintain itself in power.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Russians and the Syrians and the Americans all yabbering back and forth at each other. We've got Vladimir Putin putting an op-ed piece in the New York Times talking about what is happening. We have disinformation or information, depending on where you go or how you play it, on who is gassing who in Syria. We have a new Fed chief, perhaps, Bosco, went, as Obama has just suggested that Summers is going to come in as the new head of the Federal Reserve, replacing Ben Bernanke, right?
Did they make that decision yet, or is that?
Well, like he suggested he's going to nominate him. Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, I guess that's
yeah.
He's in then. Oh boy!
Absolutely.
More of Larry Summers.
Yeah,
consequently. Wasn't he the Treasury Secretary when the collapse happened? Or that was Paulson?
Yes, he was.
I think he was before Paulson.
Well, that was
Paulson. Yeah.
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 So there's some interesting stuff going on, and I do get unequivocally, Bosco, that they're starting to lose their capacity to control things. And this gives me great pause. I guess, I mean, as we've said from time to time, Bosco, we have a delightful predisposition towards things in that we would like to think that we can see the marketplace for what it is and recognize what they're doing and how they're manipulating it. Mm-hmm. And we would like to think from time to time that our observations are correct. And at the same time, this is going to be quite calamitous and quite painful for a lot of people. And this is one of our agendas, is making sure that you protect your wealth through a variety of through it a variety of manners in which you buy gold and silver. Right? We don't want you to lose your pensions, although the government steal that from you. We don't want you to have a calamity affect you terribly. It's going to affect you regardless, but we want you to be protected in this manner, if that in fact is helpful and is contributory to your protection of your wealth.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, unfortunately in these kind of markets, you know, it's return of your money, not return on your money, that's important.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to make sure that your money is safe from counterparty risk or systemic risk or whatever the case may be. And you know, it's unfortunate that we have to come to this, but the issues surrounding the current circumstances obviously drive us to do these things. And, you know, it's just prudent to protect what you've worked so hard for, you know, because ultimately, folks, the value of currency is going to be determined by central banks and the government. You know, they're not going to tell you that your pension, once you receive your pension, that you're going to be able to buy the same goods and services that you are now when you receive that you will be when you receive your pension. You know, the inflation is always going to be there. Prices are going to go up, so they don't guarantee that the value of your pension is going to be you know, comparable to the cost of a bag of groceries or whatever the case may be. So, you know, that's one thing that you want to keep in mind. And historically, folks, I mean, there's no other asset in the world that has kept pace with the actual cost of living than gold and silver. And you can go back through any time in history and you'll see that, you know, 1 ounce of gold probably, you know, bought the same amount of goods and services at any point in history. And I know that, for example, I think we discussed it on the program a few weeks ago, you have a 25 cent, in the U.S., the 25 cent coins, the quarters, were made out of silver. And back then, you can buy a gallon of gas. This was in the 70s, I believe. You could buy a gallon of gas for 25 cents, okay? Mm. And you fast forward to today, okay, that 25 cents doesn't even buy you not even a quarter of a gallon. A gallon of gas in the States now is like almost $4. Okay, so 25 cents doesn't even buy you, you know, nothing. But if you had a silver quarter, the same quarter from the 1960s, to now, that silver quarter is actually worth about between $4 and $5. Okay, so if you have that silver quarter now, you could still buy that same gallon of gas that you bought, you know, 30 and 40 years before. Okay, the difference is that you can't just take that silver quarter and go to the counter and say, you know, here, this is worth $5. You're going to have to go to a coin dealer and get the market value for the silver in cash, and then go pay for your gas. And I think the same thing is going to happen in the future. It's not, I don't believe that we're going to go back to using gold coins to exchange for goods and services. However, if you have gold and silver coins in reserve, that you'll be able to take those gold and silver coins, exchange them with a coin dealer, and take whatever the currency is of the day, whether they change our currency to, I don't know, now we have plastic currency now in Canada. Who knows, in 10 years we might have, you know, some kind of credit card currency or whatever the case is. You use that in exchange for the currency and then go buy your goods and services. So, you know, it's just an extra step, but you know, you want to be able to protect your assets. And there's a reason why these international central banks are holding gold in reserve and countries like China are continually accumulating more and more gold. They see what's coming, and in my opinion, I think China is trying to position themselves to be the alternative reserve currency of the world next to the U.S. dollar.
The Chinese have an economic agenda that suggests that if they needed to, we're not sure if they need to, ladies and gentlemen, but if they needed to, if push came to shove, they would side with the Europeans as opposed to the Americans, because I think they take great exception to the way the Americans are trying to manage their economy. Mm-hmm. And I think there is. I mean, again, the currency issue is a big one, and we've spoken of currency wars again. And if I can digress for a wee moment, or regress for a wee moment, Bosco, I want to chat about a few signs that the powers that be are losing control over the people and what's happening in terms of when they're polling people and when they're starting to play this game, right? I mean, I think we talked about nobody believes what the officials are saying anymore, and I think the premise behind that is the boy who cried wolf too many times lends the officials credibility, compromises it. I think we're losing confidence in the politicians, and from what I gather, the mainstream polls are showing that only 10% of the public has any confidence in Congress whatsoever. In other words, 90% don't believe them to be competent, which is quite shocking. There's no confidence in the media. Okay, again, polls are showing that 77% of the population no longer trust corporate TV news, which is, things that Bosco and I have been saying for a long time, but is it any wonder why the establishment media failed to sell the lies about the Syrian gas attacks, chemistry? I mean, I'm not sure what the truth is, but I do know that, what was it that we talked about last week, Bosco, that the actual vice president of the United States said it was on YouTube, so it's real? Shocking.
Yeah.
We're also seeing something recently happen, Bosco, that I haven't brought up of late. And we saw, this was in 08 when the huge crash came, that the Icelandic banks went, bollocks, we're just going to put this, we're going to throw everything under the bus, and we're going to allow the banks to go bankrupt as opposed to bail out. So and recently Hungary, at great peril, I might add, became one of the first countries to follow Iceland's lead by shedding the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and is undertaking to sever ties with the imprisonment by debt. Okay, we're also seeing, Bosco, mutiny among the soldiers. We're seeing people pitch up and become whistleblowers, and we're seeing this Bradley Manning, I think, who has gone some interesting drama about him, but he was found guilty of many, many counts of treason. But again, we've got military whistleblowers stepping up and saying, yeah, the government is lying to you, and consequently, let me show you how, okay? Mm. And old Einstein said, remember Einstein, one of those clever individuals in our past, said the pioneers of a warless world are the young men and women who refuse military service. We're going to start to see people going, I don't believe in the military, as opposed to the powers that be wanting to enrage these young people so they'll go to war and fight against a criminal or an enemy that is so vague and nefarious and difficult to identify. We're going to it's brutal. Now, the other one that has happened recently, Bosco, is we talk about there was a bombing at the Boston Marathon. And one of the things that I've been listening to recently is how when guys are in Iraq and guys are in Afghanistan, they come back to the States and they say, we're using the same equipment here as we did in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's just painted a different color. Mm-hmm. And one of the darkest signs that the elite are losing their grip on power is the creation of a militarized police state, which is what the Nazis did, and specifically trained to combat domestic unrest. So when people start to say, no more, I'm not going to stand for this anymore, this is nonsense, then they pull out the police state, which is quite, in all fairness, Bosco, it should be terrifying, okay?
Oh, yeah, of course.
The NSA, the DEA, all of these, right? They're clearly scared, and they're clearly compromised in terms of their pulled. You've got brothers holding a gun and managing a police state against brothers. That's brutal. You've also got secession movements happening in various places, right? I mean, Spain is talking about seceding. Scotland's talking about seceding. Utah is talking, Colorado is, California is. They're trying to talk about getting outside of an economy or an economic behemoth that is doing things that compromise everybody's agenda. You know, there's many things happening, ladies and gentlemen, and a perusal of the internet gives you food for thought on talking about how these guys are trying to control you, and you're smart enough, strong enough, intelligent enough, and investigate enough to really see through what they're trying to, how far over your eyes they're trying to pull the wool. Okay, Bob, yeah. Another little rant of mine
it's good. We need to hear these kind of things. And folks, you know, as usual, this is a time to change strategies and, you know, look at alternative measures for protecting your assets and so on. We're at the end of the our show now, and you know, I'd just like to remind everybody that we have a new website. The address is centralmetalscorp.com. There's a link on that website to our old blog site as well, which this radio program is published on, and we have news articles on that blog as well, so you can go back and forth from there. The new website has a new page with the products that we carry, and the premiums are posted there. We do offer volume discounts, so if you're ordering a large volume of gold and silver, we can talk to the warehouse and see if we could get you some special pricing. So along with that, Jeff, I'd like to thank you for joining us today. And folks, I want to wish you all have a great weekend. And Jeff, we'll see you again next week.
All right, Bosco. And again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for allowing us to be of service to you.
Great. Goodbye.